You're in the lounge. I'm Dirk Sutro. Blogging. It sounds more like a buffalo slogging through mud than the latest internet craze, but blogging is actually short for web logging. More or less, a blog is a personal online diary that encourages visitors to participate in discussions. There are blogs devoted to everything from the most personal revelations to extreme hobbies and the trials and tribulations of pets. Maybe you're a seasoned blogger, or perhaps you've already visited one of the popular how-to-blog websites like blogger.com. Come blog with us in the lounge tonight. Give us a call, 888-895-5727, or more appropriately, email us, lounge@kpbs.org. We'll be picking up your email messages during the show. Joining us tonight are three bona fide bloggers. We begin with Mitch Wagner, a journalist specializing in technology, whose own blog is drivethru.org. That's drive-thru.org. Mitch, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, a lot of people have used the internet in a lot of different ways. There have been bulletin boards, chat rooms, and all sorts of web pages. Is the blog really indeed a new animal, or is it a new name for something that's kind of existed already?
It's been around as long as the web. Some people say that the very first web page out there from Tim Berners-Lee, the man who invented the web, was a weblog, which kind of confuses me and makes me wonder what exactly he was pointing to if there were no other web pages out there. Basically, a blog is just a name for a web page that organizes its content in chronological order. And that sort of thing has been around from the very beginning, even though the name only came to be used in 97 or so.
But a blog, or at least the blogs that we're talking about tonight, which the three of you operate, are also very personal. That would be another trait. Or they're very somewhat specialized, correct?
Yeah, as a rule, there are some corporate blogs out there, but the overwhelming majority of them are just done by individual people who are pointing out sites on the web or articles on the web that interest them, or just talking about what's going on in their own lives. I think that's what makes blogging very, very different from what's come before, because it's an individual, personalized medium. It tends not to be corporate.
So, how would say a blog say be different than a personal website? Like, how would your blog, drivethru.org, how would that be different than say, I don't know, MitchWagner.com, a personal website?
Well, MitchWagner.com doesn't actually exist, but personal websites tend to be static. What ended up happening was when the web first became popular, everybody started putting up personal web pages. And you'd have a picture of your cats, you'd have, you know, a list of your favorite music albums, a couple of other photos, a little poem you wrote about your girlfriend or boyfriend. And then you'd say, okay, what now? And no one would ever come visit your web page. So you'd be looking for an idea, a way to get it going and update it every day. Then a couple of years later, people started doing personal diaries. This was a problem because most people's lives are not very interesting. My own life would consist of, I got up, I had tea, I went to the computer, I had lunch, went to the computer some more. People are falling asleep even listening to this, I can tell. And then what ended up happening was around 97 or so, people just started to put up pointers to other websites and other web pages that they thought were interesting. And that was really sort of unique. It became, I mean, my wife and I went to Britain last month, and one thing we saw was a lot of these really interesting tour guides. And they'd show you around these buildings, and they'd be really fascinating. You could tell they loved what they were doing, and they really wanted to share it with you. That's what a good weblog is like. It says, look at this web page. This is a great web page. Let me tell you some of the things I know about this same subject.
So given the plethora of web pages that there are, and by the way, I'm not any kind of blogger, but I can tell you that if I get carried away, I can already spend hours online just cruising around to see what's out there. So why blog? Is it because you feel that you have unique ideas or feelings that you want to put out there for other people to appreciate, or are you actually trying to reach an audience?
Both. Why do people do anything? You do it because it's fun. You do it because it's a way to connect with people. You do it because it's a way to express yourself in writing. You do it because it's a way to play around with web technology. I started doing it partially because I wanted to play around with this stuff and start fiddling with web pages, but you know, you got to have something to say to do that.
We're talking about blogging in the lounge tonight. We have three bloggers here. It sounds like some kind of hybrid of logging and ice blocking, but it's not. It's web logging, and it refers to some of these personal web sites that our bloggers have that do everything from talk about their own individual trials and tribulations to show photos of their families to exhibit links to tens or sometimes hundreds of other websites that they personally have found and find interesting. Give us a call, 888-895-5727. Email us, lounge@kpbs.org. And through the course of the hour tonight, one of our bloggers here is going to be updating his own blog. And if you visit artlung.com/blog, during this hour, you should be able to see some new material appearing on there, and our other blogger, Joe, here may give you the real skinny on what's happening here. You might get a completely different version of our show on Joe's blog than what you're hearing on 89.5 KPBS. Mitch Wagner, let's take people through your drive-through blog and just give them some idea of what they're going to find there. Now, I printed out a few of your pages, and like you say, it does have the characteristic that it changes. You update it daily, if not maybe even several times a day. And so, for example, at the very start of your blog drive-through, you say that you're going to be on our show tonight, and you encourage some of your buds to tune in or to connect in via the internet. And here's a short interchange here from one of your blog mates, I guess. Brian says, "What are you going to wear?" You say, "What I usually wear for media appearances, G-string, heels, tiara." And Brian says, "Guess I won't be eating lunch after all." And I guess that's just a kind of a small example of an interchange. But I guess the internet provides a certain degree of facility for people to communicate and maybe communicate sometimes more easily than they would in person or even on the telephone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love that. You just get emails from... you just get emails from your friends. You get emails from strangers. It's a real opportunity to connect with people that you would not have had otherwise.
Do you consider yourself primarily like a techie or a writer, or if you had to compare yourself with some kind of other existing category with regard to your blogging fascination, what would it be?
I've always described myself as a better journalist than the techies and a better techie than the other journalists. Primarily, I would say I'm a writer. I mean, I'm a technology journalist. I write primarily about technology. I'd like to write about other things, but that's what I'm doing today.
In terms of the kind of response and interchange that you get for a blog like yours, I mean, how many people visit your blog in a day or a month, and how many exchanges do you have in terms of an ongoing dialogue?
Well, my blog is actually not one of the more popular ones. Some of the more popular ones can get thousands of visits every day. I'm going up above 100 visits a day now because I've been writing about, I think, a lot of privacy and technology and Microsoft issues that interest a lot of people. Generally speaking, I'll get two or three comments a day.
Mm-hmm.
The one that you mentioned was actually a response to an email I'd put out to some of my friends saying that I was going to be on the show. So that's the kind of the volume that I get.
And how did you get started into this in the first place? I mean, you must have a certain facility with the software or the technology involved.
You don't really need that much facility to get involved in this. HTML, which is the basic component of the web, is actually pretty easy to learn. Actually, Brian, who sent that email, was the guy who gave me my first HTML lesson. When I told him I was nervous about it, he told me it isn't difficult, it's merely tedious. So you get started with that in technology. These days, kids these days have it a lot easier. These days, it's a lot easier to get started. You could just go on blogger.com and get your own website started for free.
So if somebody were going to start blogging and just get a basic blog going, to some of us average kind of casual computer and internet users, could we go to a place like blogger.com and be up and running within some reasonable time frame? Or are we talking about a few sessions over the course of a week or two or something?
You could do it, if all goes well, which it never does with computers, you could do it in a few minutes. When I started on blogger.com, did it in a few minutes. I know people who've never been able to do it. You get jammed up sometimes. But generally speaking, it'll take you a few minutes.
And just to give people some idea of how much content could be on a blog. Now, I barely had a chance to scrape the surface of each of your blogs because there are all kinds of links in them that go to other sites and that also go to your archives, you know, which may be several days or several months worth, or even several years worth. So how much, you know, I guess to use a quantifiable category that people would recognize, a book, say, how much stuff is on your blog compared with, say, a book? Any idea?
Probably a book's worth at this point. A big, book's thick worth. Book.
Any idea how many pages?
So big you couldn't carry it. I don't really think of it in those terms. You do it a minutes a day, and it adds up.
That kind of comparison, I think, isn't really, I don't want to say not relevant, but isn't a fair comparison at this point. I mean, the whole point of having this being done digitally is that you've got an infinite amount of expansion available to you. And you talked about interweaving between other sites and other areas and other links. You've basically got the potential to encompass the entire world with information.
And we're talking to Lester here, and your site is yeahtotally.net. And how did you get into blogging?
I stumbled upon blogging after doing a web search for something at this point that I don't remember. And I had actually stumbled upon someone else's blog. It was egomaniac.new. And from there, I just jumped from blog to blog to blog and decided that this was something interesting. This is something that I thought would be a rewarding experience for me. So hopped on a Blogger, and within a day, I had my own website up.
Well, we heard a little bit from Mitch about drivethrough.org, and I wanted to hear a bit more from you, Lester, about yeahtotally.net in terms of why you do it and how you decide what to put up there.
Why do I do it? The short answer is it's probably the best form of therapy I've found. And my site, I guess, is more along the lines of a personal journal. And anything that I encounter in the real world or in the physical space, whether it be music, movies, television, interpersonal relationships, I sort of put that in my head, think about it, come up with a reaction or some sort of angle to contextualize that information and put it out there for other people to check out, react to, and come up with their own conclusions.
Now, you actually came out online.
Yeah.
And did you come out online before you came out anywhere else?
Not quite. When I had started yeahtotally.net, which was about a year ago, I had started it anonymously. And it was initially a space for me to sort of explore these, my experiences in the gay community in San Diego, being a 27-year-old Asian male, basically giving it its own vantage point, which you aren't going to find, I don't think, in mainstream media.
Right.
Eventually, I dropped the anonymity, put my name on the page, put my picture on the page, and went from there. And what I think recently happened, and what you're referring to, is with the increased popularity of the website and the increased visibility of the website, there was no way that my father was going to be in the dark about it any longer. And while I hadn't actually spoken to him about my being homosexual, I didn't want anyone else speaking to him about it before I did. So I came out to my father and in a small way chronicled the process online as well.
One interesting thing, you know, my dad, I know, and probably a lot of guys of that older generation are way more private than the younger people are. And I wonder, what was your dad's reaction, not to the fact of you coming out, but to the fact of you having this frank revelation about your own orientation online for all the world to see?
I'm not sure that he's quite grasped the process, the concept that it's out there for all the world to see, sort of taking it one step at a time.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is that if it hadn't been for the website and for the public nature of the website, I probably wouldn't have taken that step with my father that I did.
Well, after the break, I want to talk a lot more about the implications of having a social existence in a cyber realm and how often or whether that spills over into the traditional real physical realm that we're more familiar with. We're talking about blogging. For more information on blogging, you can go to blogger.com. And one of the blogs that we are talking about tonight will be evolving during the course of this show. We have a Macintosh iBook sitting here, and Joe is working away as we speak on artlung.com/blog. So if you log on there, you know, like I said before, you might find out what's really going on the show tonight. You might get a whole different version of the show than what you're getting at 89.5 FM. I'm Dirk Sutro. We'll be back in the lounge with blogging after this short break.
Because I know that you're on the other side of the world. I think it's time we ought to get together. So I start to pick up my phone up, and I'm gonna get him on a car. Stick a keys in your motor, and make your way right over. Because I know that.
Well, we're checking out blogging in the lounge tonight. That's the phenomenon of web logging. We have three bona fide bloggers here, and we're talking about all three of their blogs and what goes on there, what you can find there, why they do it, and what it's like to live in a cyber realm a large part of your day. Mitch is here, Lester here, Joe is here. You can join us at 888-895-5727 or email us, lounge@kpbs.org. We'll pick up your emails during the show. And if you want to check out Joe's blog, it's changing as we speak, as he types while I'm talking. Who knows what he's really saying about me on there, but you can check it out at artlung.com/blog. And Joe, I was looking over your shoulder during the break there, and one of the things that you put on your blog was that you were somewhat blown away at how frank Lester is on his website.
Well, I suppose that there's an irony in that, because I'm been very frank as well. When I first started blogging, it was not very personal. It was more about, you know, I come across odd things on the net. I've been called Google on legs by friends, and I just wanted to put them out somewhere. But I've had some things happening in my personal life in the last 2 months that are, I just could not blog about. I could not put them there, if that makes any sense.
It seems, in concept, maybe a little bit strange, but it strikes me as if on a blog, a lot of people feel more comfortable getting personal than they do in person.
I suppose that's true to some extent. I think that when you don't have a face to look at, you can be very frank and be alone in your thoughts. I guess it's what the poets and writers of ancient rhyme talk about, right? That they are there expressing their feelings in the deepest way possible.
I guess one thing that you've been very frank about on your site is that your longtime relationship broke up.
I'm currently in the midst of a separation, and it's unclear what is going to happen with that. What I've been talking about is just that process of the pain and the angst, and you know, I'm going to counseling, and just all that stuff.
So now, what kinds of responses do you get back from people?
Interestingly, I don't get a lot of responses from anonymous people, but friends of mine keep up with my life via the blog. And so when the separation first happened, I got a lot of email from friends. Well, not a lot, maybe a dozen pieces of email from people who came across it and were, you know, how can I help? How, you know, and so it was a great means for me to reach out without reaching out to at least my electronic friends.
If, you know, I think it was Lester or maybe Mitch that said that that this is pretty a therapeutic thing to be able to just kind of air everything out in a forum. And if, like you say, Joe, it's not always guaranteed or even true that people respond, that, you know, the stuff just gets on the blog and sits there for a while, why not just write it in a journal if the whole thing is kind of a cathartic process to just get it out?
Well, that's a good question, and I actually am keeping a private journal as well. I'm acutely aware of the fact that this stuff is available to anyone in the world with an internet connection, and so I'm obviously not going to admit to some of the darker thoughts or to law breaking or whatever.
I mean, it's interesting because there's levels. Then there's levels
absolutely
to which you're willing to go, and your blog is one level and your personal diary is a completely different level.
Right. Everybody has lots of thoughts in the course of a day. Bright thoughts, dark thoughts, and what gets put in the blog is how you choose to present yourself.
So if you want to think of it this way, I mean, by process of elimination, by deciding what to put on the blog and what not to put on the blog, in one sense, you're really an actor or you're a director creating a play or an identity online that may or may not be the true picture of Joe.
That's interesting. I've never thought of it quite that way. I think that when I post, it's not with an eye on crafting an image of myself that's false. It's what's going to come out of me and how will I phrase things in a way that won't upset, say, my mother, who she was visiting from Virginia recently, and she actually said that she's reading the blog, and I've always sort of known that that was a possibility.
Well, now, don't you find a little bit of irony in the idea of putting something on the internet where millions or even billions of people could find it, but worrying about what your mom's going to think?
Well, it's not so much worrying; it's just knowing that anything that I put publicly on the internet is like posting it down at the local laundromat, you know, putting on the bulletin board. It's no different than that. Or publishing it in a book, it's going to be picked up at Borders, you know. So you can be public, but still be cognizant of the fact that your words are going to have impact on people.
Well, we want to hear about your experience with blogging or how you think you'd do blogging. How much of your own personal life would you be willing to put on your own blog if and when you start one? Or what has your experience of communicating on the internet been to date? If not blogging, then in some of the chat rooms, say, or even on a website like matchmaker.com, where I actually met my wife. Hi, honey, if you're out there. Give us a call, 888-895-5727. And, you know, there are a lot of people that have philosophized about this whole information age, internet, cyber era that we're in, and wondered what would or could happen if communicating in cyberspace becomes the primary mode of human interaction. Now, do you guys feel that spending a lot of time blogging takes you away from other types of human interaction?
I don't think so. I think it's another form of human interaction, and what I've experienced is that it actually leads to more real space meetings with people. I've met people from New York, from Los Angeles, from pretty much anywhere you can imagine online, and have actually met up with them in person as well. I think fundamentally speaking, having faceless interaction with someone is going to be ultimately inadequate. And what this does is maybe facilitate the ease of finding people with the same interests as you. And with the same points of view as that you have, and finding a way to come in contact with them in real life.
Do you find that blogging or internet communication in general is somewhat of an equalizer in the sense that I think any of us are prone to interact with human beings that are in our own comfort zone, whatever that is, probably somebody that doesn't look or act too much differently than we do. But if you're blogging, it's the content that's the thing, and you don't really get any.
It's much any more of a cerebral sense.
It's like the New Yorker, the famous New Yorker cartoon on the internet. There's a picture of a dog sitting at a laptop computer, and the caption is, "At the internet, on the internet, no one knows you're a dog." I think it's what I think is more interesting. You can meet people different from you down the street. I think,
but you probably wouldn't, because neither one of you would probably approach the other.
Yeah, but if you're not going to seek people out, you're not going to seek people out on the web, and you probably don't even have a blog to begin with.
So in your estimation, an avid blogger is the same kind of person who would be a pretty social, gregarious person in their neighborhood.
Not necessarily gregarious in the sense of getting together with a lot of people, but not so narrow that they're only going to go after people like themselves. They're going to be people, however many friends they have and how many people they socialize with, it's going to be a diverse group of people.
Well, now, Lester, I want to ask you a bit more, because you mentioned the possibility of beginning a communication online or communications online with your blog, and then eventually meeting people in person. Now, I think there would be an argument that would say that completely defeats the purpose, because once you meet them, the mystique is gone and the unbiased communication is gone.
And all your mental images are shattered.
Yeah. I mean, isn't it? I mean, you know, a lot of people think that radio or reading are so much more attractive and romantic because so much is left to your imagination. And once you see a person, does that sometimes ruin it?
Not yet. I can tell you that much. I've met about a dozen people, and so far the people that I've met up with have been fairly honest. And the truth is that a lot of people out there aren't honest. And the most famous case of that would be the Casey Nicole incident last year.
Tell us about that.
Casey Nicole was an online personality who portrayed herself as a collegiate student who had come down with leukemia. And a lot of people gravitated toward the story. One person in particular, I think it was Paul or Peter van der Woning, had contacted her, set up her blog for her, and he and John Halcyon had contacted a lot of people and generated a lot of support and a lot of sympathy for this one person, and eventually set up a blog for her mother, who also chronicled her experiences with raising a child that she knew was going to die. And eventually it was posted that Casey Nicole had passed away. And there was a huge outpouring of emotion from an online community of people who had been very touched by this story. But as soon as that post had happened, a lot of people started speculating about, well, how do we know that she's real? No one's actually met her. Some people have had phone conversations with her, but no one's actually come in physical contact with her. And through another online community called Metafilter, which basically just this massive discussion group.
It's a community weblog.
Yeah, I guess in the best term for it, had basically pooled their resources and tracked down all the information they could about this person and found out that she wasn't real. That she was a creation of a mother and daughter out somewhere in the Midwest, and they had faked the whole thing.
And was there some like outpouring of gifts or financial support or something too? Because she was
reportedly
so ill, and the medical expenses.
People had sent donations. People had sent care packages. But I think more importantly, people gave a piece of themselves and really started to care for this person.
Well, so here's an example of a new kind of ethical quandary that our legal system really wasn't built to cope with. What was the upshot of this? Were there any new rules put in place, or is it just more like blogger beware?
Blogger beware. Yeah.
Would there be? I think you could do that in real life with some difficulty. See, I kind of reject the idea that there is this place called cyberspace where the rules are somehow different than in the real world. It's all just the real world.
Well, that's true. I mean, you could meet somebody, say, in a bar or at a party and make up a completely phony identity for yourself.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
But you probably couldn't sustain it as long or with as much credibility as you can when you're just working in anonymity at your computer somewhere maybe miles or states away from whoever's communicating with you.
You can do it by mail or phone, though.
Yeah, I don't know about that. There was the CIA or the NSA guy who basically led a double life with his wife for decades, basically.
And there
so
is...
I think you can be, if you're going to be a jerk, you can be a jerk online or in real life.
And there are women who place ads in magazines, basically seeking out older men to marry or be their friends. And
The future Anna Nicole Smith of America Society.
Yeah, but they have no intention of going through with it. They get the gifts. This is actually a famous instance, which I'm avoiding speaking specifics because it's, you know, the radio and everybody is saying, and I don't know it's true, I just read magazine articles, but this woman was just writing, they got these wealthy men to write her, and she'd say, I'll come visit you, send me money for plane fare. And then she'd get the money and never show up.
Well, I think you have the same phenomenon with the cam girls, the kind of the girls who put their image, they have their little webcam pointed at them and they flash people or do whatever they need to do to be exhibitionists, and people send them gifts or money or whatever.
Well, and some of them aren't covert at all about what they're doing. They're making a lot of money.
Sure.
And they're willing participants who are
exactly
part in that exchange.
Well, we're talking about blogging or web logging. It's a new term for a somewhat familiar use of the internet. We have three bloggers here. They each have websites or blogs. Mitch's is drivethrough.org. It's drive-thru.org. Lester's is yeahtotally.net. And Joe over here is at artlung.com, and Joe is updating his site as we speak. He's got his computer right here. So if you want to see some real-time blogging, go to artlung.com. And, well, where do we go from here? How much time do you guys spend blogging a day?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I was originally freelancing. I would spend probably half my day on there.
Oh,
and
wow.
Well, you know, actually,
blogging can get you in trouble. It did get at least one of you in trouble because you were. I think I heard that one of you was blogging at work, and the employer didn't take kindly to that.
No, I don't think so.
No, that wasn't Lester.
There are covert ways to blog at work.
Okay.
Not that I do that anymore, by the way.
Well, go to the website if you want the real story. I guess Lester should be yeahtotally.net, but. How much can it, you know, kind of intrude?
Well, I think, you know, when you start out, you are really into it and you sort of blog about everything that you come across and you make as many links as you can. And as someone who's starting out, you may be more concerned with getting a large number of hits and a large number of visitors to your site. But after a while, I think that wears thin and you start to maybe look at the quality of your entries and the quality of your writing and it may take a different form for you. It may not. But I think whereas I was maybe doing like 4 or 5 posts a day about just about anything that came along, now I'm down to probably like 1 or 2 posts of some really sort of meaty.
So less than an hour on your blog?
I'd say.
And how much time do you spend online in a day?
Well, now spending time reading other people's blogs is another question. And really, you do get caught up in other people's lives. It's like the real world without the toothpaste commercials.
So
well, and also I think.
But wait, I want to stay with this thought that Lester has here for a second. Is there another blog or a couple of other blogs that you're pretty hooked on where you have to click in there every day to see what's going on with your peer?
Yeah,
can you give out a couple of addresses?
Yeah, 2xy.org. That's a German's blog, and he's a guy up in Toronto. There used to be a great...
What goes on that blog, if we can say?
German's really campy, and it's really about his life and his work and what he does, and it's probably not safe to look at while you're at work.
Yeah, a lot of the blogs, there's little code words that come up in blogging, and sometimes NSF. When you get some links, there'll be one that say workplace safe or not workplace safe.
Right.
Well, a blog like that one that you just mentioned, Lester, I mean, of all the blogs or even all the sites that you could visit on the internet, which is probably maybe even in the billions by now,
right.
why that one? I mean, what's so compelling about checking in with that one or another one every day?
You know what really draws me in? It's two things. Typically, it's a sense of humor and people with a very sharp wit and a very wry outlook on life. And just they can make you laugh with just about anything that happens to them. And the other example of I think, what good blogging is about is just the quality of the writing. And I think when you get beyond the writing, though, is their clever usage of the hypertext linking and able to link to other sites in such a way that makes you either juxtapose the content of the other site with some other bit of information that they just dropped on you.
You know, Google is my personal favorite search engine, and I read with some fear not too long ago, I think in the last couple or 3 months, that the Google people were about to begin taking fees in order to make different organizations be the first thing to pop up when you search for something. So like, say if you were a jazz saxophonist and somebody typed in jazz saxophonist and you were Bill Smith in Oregon and had paid Google whatever the fee
is. The most relevant.
I'm getting at here though is will we get to a point where the search engines are kind of weighted and the blogs are the true way to find the really cool websites out there, because we wouldn't even find them on a search engine.
That's what the benefit of finding links through other blogs is, that not only do you get information, you get the information contextualized.
Right.
So you get to know the person who linked to that site and maybe why they linked to that site. And then you can sort of make up your own mind. Do I, trust this person's opinion, or do I fly in the face?
Well, we're blogging in the lounge tonight with three bona fide bloggers. If you want to see some blogging going on as we speak, don't worry, it's okay. Your kids can look at this blogging too. It's at artlung.com. And we want to know if you blog, or you'd like to blog, or you haven't the foggiest notion what blogging is. Give us a call, 888-895-5727. Send us an email, lounge@kpbs.org. I'm Dirk Sutro. We'll be back more blogging after this short break. We're kind of giving you a blogging 101 in the lounge tonight. Maybe you don't have a clue what blogging is, or you didn't at least until you tuned in tonight, or maybe you're a seasoned blogger with your own blog. Give us a call, 888-895-5727. Three bloggers are here with us, Mitch, Lester, Joe, and their websites. Mitch's is drive-through.org, and that's through, T-H-R-U. Lester's is yeahtotally.net, and Joe's, which Joe is updating during the show tonight on his laptop, is artlung.com. And I wonder, would each of you read us a paragraph or two from your blogs, just so we get some idea of the stories that you're telling on there? Does anybody want to volunteer?
I've got one ready, I guess.
Okay, Lester.
This was an entry entitled Random Access Memory, All About My Mother. I remember visiting the Philippines when I was 13 or so. We were driving around the province where my mother grew up, visiting my grandfather's farm, and I kept seeing these large white signs with bold black sans serif type. I read them to myself whenever we drove by one. There is a coupon, over and over again. There is a coupon, there is a coupon, there is a coupon. Finally, I spoke up. Mom, what's this coupon they keep posting signs about? And what's with all these tanks? Coup. Coup. There's a military coup on. Keep your voice down or some bad men might hear your accent and kidnap you for ransom. And I told you not to stick your hand outside the window. They'll cut it off just to steal your watch. When are we going home? This was the same trip that I watched her kill a chicken for dinner.
Wow, that's really good. It sounds to me like that's not really kind of an off-the-cuff diary entry. That sounds like a fairly polished piece of work. So how much do you actually spit and polish before something shows up in public on your blog?
It depends on the entry. That was just during the day that memory popped in my head. I'm like, oh, I have to write this down. And then I was like, well, I can make this more interesting than, so, hey, I remember, I saw these signs in the Philippines that said, oh, there's a coup on. Oh, and I thought that they said coupon. And I think, that's sort of where the challenge lies for me, is taking the mundane and making them more interesting or gleaning some sort of interest out of them.
Well, now, Lester, you're obviously pretty literate, and I wonder, you sound pretty well read. Can you give us a little more sense of what authors you're into or what books are your favorite great books?
The last really good book I read was, what was it called? Above All Things, The Heart is Deceitful by J.T. Leroy. And I think just the imagery and the lyrical nature of that writing about some really dark, dark subjects, I think probably serves as an inspiration, I guess.
Well, now, all the bands in the world, and in fact, pretty much all the artists in the world have their own websites now, to the point where those of us in media, if somebody's coming into town, pretty much all you have to do is type their name.com and you'll get to their website. I'm curious, in your case with the blog and with you obviously having writing ability, is there some hope in the back of your mind that maybe you'll get discovered this way as an artist and maybe it'll lead to something else?
I'd hope so. I'm using it as a promotional vehicle for a couple of things that I'm doing. The latest thing that I've tried to promote on there is the nightclub that we're doing, which takes place the first and third Fridays of every month, called Electrolux. And I think the interesting thing is, on one hand, you've got the development of a nightclub going on, and you get to sort of see the behind-the-scenes aspects of it and what I'm going through trying to get it together and in order to organize it. In the back of my head, I guess I would like to sort of get discovered, but at the same time, there are tons more talented people out there than I am.
Is there some point in any of the three of your minds that there's a place where a blog has content or intent that makes it no longer a blog and makes it something else?
I think that the definition of a blog is very loose. As long as you're putting in entries on some time basis, that's a blog. If you are posting, a two-page essay with each one of those posts, I think that's still a blog.
So if you've got a think tank scientist, say, that's making daily entries on the effects of microwave radiation on spider reproduction or something.
Right.
Would something scientific that's mostly scientific and not really personal, would that be a blog?
Sure. I think that there are actually a lot of blogs that are not so personal. We've talked a lot here about personal blogs, but I can think of at least one that's linked from the San Diego Bloggers page that's on archaeology. It's all about a specific topic. The most topical blogs I can think of are on web design or those sorts of things, because it's a very natural vehicle for people who work on the web to talk about the web in this format.
Well, so one of my personal things happens to be guitars, and there's all sorts of websites devoted to guitars. But what would be the difference between, say, guitars.com that has like one guy's stories about his guitars and about his musical heroes, and maybe has links to other cool sites that may have to do with guitars and may have to do with other art or something completely different? What would be the difference between that guitar.com site that may not be technically called a blog and a blog?
The thing that hits me when you ask that is that a blog, you get a sense that it's very timely. Most blogs include on all the entries, they have dates and times on them, so you know exactly when they posted it last. So you know exactly how fresh the content is. If you go to some random site on, you know, on your favorite brand, on your favorite band, or on guitars or whatever, you don't have an idea of how old or how new that content is, or if it's still relevant.
Well, let's take some calls here if you want to join our conversation about blogging. We're at 888-895-5727. We're going to talk to Nicole in the Kearney Mesa area. Hi there, Nicole.
Hello.
So, are you a blogger?
Yeah, I have a live journal, livejournal.com.
Okay.
I wanted to suggest that website. Someone mentioned that something about negating the purpose of having an online journal when you meet someone.
Uh-huh.
And in March, I had some friends come out from Memphis for a concert because one of them's like obsessed with Sonic Youth.
So Sonic Youth, yeah.
Yeah, they came out, and I met him, and I met his friend, and we ended up getting along greatly, and now we all read each other's journals.
So what you're telling me is broke down the geographic border, and it allowed you to connect with some really cool, like-minded people that you wouldn't have met otherwise.
Exactly. I have another friend coming out from Kentucky next month, and I plan to visit one in New York next spring. So it's really introduced me to a lot of interesting people who think very similarly.
Is it any more risky for women to blog and to meet bloggers in person than it is for men?
I think that just varies from person to person. I don't think gender is an issue.
Yeah. And give us an idea of, did you post anything on your blog today?
Yeah, I think today I said I was going to the post office before work, nothing fascinating.
Yeah.
But I and my friends use ours primarily as a vehicle to communicate. Like, are you coming over tonight after work? Simple stuff like that. It's kind of boring, I guess, to a stranger, but it's good for people to know you.
Do you have pictures on your blog?
Yeah, I put up some artwork and just silly pictures and stuff from parties.
Okay. Hey, thanks for the call, Nicole.
All right, thank you.
And let's take one more call from Tara in Hillcrest. Hello there, Tara.
Hello. How are you?
You're a serious blogger.
I am. I am. Joe knows me.
Joe knows
Tara.
You. Does Joe know you from blogging, or have you met in person?
We've met.
We actually met in person, yeah.
Did you meet in person first, or did you meet blogging first?
We met blogging first, I think.
You did.
Right.
Okay. Well, you say you're a serious blogger. Define that for us.
Well, I guess you could. Some people would consider me a flaky blogger. Some people would consider me serious. I would rather say I'm a serial blogger.
A serial blogger.
Start my site, and then I drop it, and then I start it, and then I drop it. And right now it's in the drop phase. But I've been doing it since Pyra Labs. Started blogger.
You mean you start a site, you drop it, and then you create a new site with a different name?
Yes.
Well, you raise a really interesting question, and that is what happens to abandoned sites? A lot of them sit there for months or years and are still accessible, aren't they?
Well, Google is a great way. Like, if you look up my name, my full name, you'll find almost every site I've ever done.
And how many are there?
Submit and Obey. Humana Humana and DearJohnny.org. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch.
I got to ask you, what's DearJohnny.org about?
Well, I'm sure you've heard of the singer Poe.
She had
a song about Johnny, Dear Johnny, and I was going through a man-hating phase. So I said, I think I'm going to do Dear Johnny. And it actually turned into a comedy site, which is what all of my sites kind of turn into, a sort of comedy site.
Well, you know, we've kind of established that at the heart of a good blog is creativity and possibly great writing. And, you know, Lester was telling us how he actually has a side that aspires to something bigger than a blog. Is that partly true of you, too? Are you a creative person or an artist that secretly or maybe not secretly hopes that your blog or your blogs will get you discovered?
I'll say that I need a creative outlet. I played jazz trumpet for 13 years, and I didn't become... I'm not a writer. Much like most of the people who are bloggers are not a writer per se, but things happen to me in my day. I mean, crazy things. And, you know, sometimes, especially I just moved to San Diego, And I don't always have someone to come home to and say, oh my goodness, let me tell you about what just happened. And my blog gives me that outlet and lets me be as wacky as I want to be.
You know, one thing I'm curious about, Tara, you can answer, or really any of our guests here. All of you guys are within reason, you know, a few of you are in your 20s and maybe one in your 30s. And I wonder, are bloggers tending to be more the people that grew up with computers, or are there a lot of older bloggers too that are like late in life adopters or something?
I actually have one reader on my site that I think he's in his like late 60s or early 70s from New Zealand that maintains a site on Blogspot.
And I've interacted with a woman in Texas who's in her 60s, and they're like 18-year-old kids and kids even younger. Basically, the range is all over the map. I think that because it's so tech, I think that the 20-30 demographic is sort of common, but I guess it's just
branching out.
There is a small but existent subculture of bloggers with Alzheimer's, which I read about this on Monday and checked out some of the blogs.
Wow.
It was really interesting.
I bet there's some really interesting writing on there, depending you know what phase they're in.
It's obviously early stage, and this is something they're basically doing to
exercise their brain.
Yeah.
I think the idea is that when, I think I read this once, that people who do classifieds or play games, those kinds of things, have better luck with Alzheimer's when they eventually get it, because they're able to have the discipline, mental discipline. And I think blogging while you have Alzheimer's, I think that you can sort of remind yourself of what's happening, maybe, or mental exercise.
And if you read about software for creating and managing websites, or for I guess blogging, like what you would find at blogger.com, that technical aspect is getting fairly approachable by the layperson, correct?
Definitely. Yeah. She mentioned LiveJournal, which I think is a fairly easy set of tools. To get started. There's also PETUS and diaryland.com.
Okay. Yeah, hey, Tara, thanks again for the call, and happy blogging.
Hey,
Tara.
You.
Bye, Tara.
And thanks to all of our bloggers. Are any of you going to go home and post something juicy tonight?
I may post something right now.
No, tonight I'm having pizza, but tomorrow.
That's one thing you still can't do online, though. They may come up with cyber smella something one day.
It comes up the printer when it comes out, especially the pepperonis.
It's so flat, though.
Yeah.
Thank you to all of you for being here. Mitch, Lester, Joe, our three bloggers. You can visit their blogs at drivethrough.org. That's drive-thru.org, artlung.com, and yeahtotally.net. And send us some email at lounge@kpbs.org. Tomorrow night in the lounge, David Patrone channels Frank Sinatra. The Lounge is produced by Eric Haberstroh, directed by Marco Manriquez, with additional help from Kelly McSweeney, Alex Doherty, and Helen Jordan. I'm Dirk Sutro. Happy blogging. We'll be right back.
failings exposed. And there's the taste to not know. As respiration takes hold.
Just have something to do. Just have